Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The passion and purpose of the Christian Research Institute is to contend earnestly for the faith once for all delivered to the saints by focusing on apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering the cults. To connect with CRI, call 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. And now here's the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, it is a delight to be in studio as we have an opportunity to communicate truth and life around the world. Today is a special broadcast as we focus on a hurricane that is bearing down on the east coast of the United States of America, most specifically towards the Carolinas. Of course, we're already in the midst of this, and it is hard to project exactly what Hurricane Florence will bring to our area and to the areas beyond our area in the next few days. Hopefully, it's not going to be analogous to the horrors that people experienced in the aftermath of Katrina. Katrina, of course, devastated huge sections of Louisiana, of Mississippi and Alabama and Florida. In fact, 80% of New Orleans at one point was underwater and looting was epidemic. In Alabama, 325,000 homes, as well as businesses, were without power. Dead bodies were floating in infected floodwaters. And that was just the tip of that horrifying human tragedy. But Americans have all too long considered that their country, our country, is impervious to natural disasters that happen all around the world. We've seen images of people in third world countries looting and ravaging vulnerable cities, and somehow we have supposed that in America things are different. And that, of course, is precisely the problem. We live in a civilization that believes in natural and moral evil from at least an intellectual perspective. But pragmatically, we think it could never happen to us. And that was the condition of a man described in Luke chapter 16. One day he lived in pampered luxury. He had purple linen that caressed his skin. But the next day he found himself in a tragic condition that trumps any natural disaster. And while we may wake up to devastation in the aftermath of Florence, he woke up to a far more horrific reality. He woke up to the reality of eternal conscious torment. Too late, he perceived the unbridgeable chasm between heaven and hell. Too late, he supposed that he should have been a witness to his brothers. Too late, he postponed repentance. Too late. I cannot help but pray that whatever Florence pretends, it will at least be one more catalyst to arouse American Christians, to arouse people like you and me from our luxury-induced stupor, and to incite us to rush to the aid of those who are trapped within the ruins of sin-sick souls. Again, I am reminded in these circumstances of the words that were spoken by Jesus Christ regarding those who perished when the Tower of Siloam crashed down around them. Jesus said, "Do you think that they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, unless you repent, you too will all perish. So Jesus took a natural disaster and he drew it to its logical implication. And whatever may come, we must be riveted to the truth that those who turned their backs on Christ's love and mercy will experience hell's irrevocable reality. I know that's not particularly popular, but it is true. And that is a devastation that dwarfs the devastation left in the wake of a hurricane. So today as never before, Christians must be prepared to declare hell's reality to all those who have been momentarily snapped out of the stupor of their daily routines. You know, the tragedy is this. As Eastern religions have become popular and influential in Western regions, common sense distinctions between good and evil are not only being blurred, they're being virtually obliterated. In the face of political correctness, it is increasingly difficult to communicate common sense verities, verities like the existence of heaven and hell. And yet, without the realities of heaven and hell, wrongs ranging from looting, to terrorist attacks, will never be righted, and the hope of a world in which we will no longer experience death, mourning, crying, and pain will never be fully realized. We have to remember that while the Creator made natural and moral evil possible by granting us freedom of choice, it was us. It was humanity that actualized that evil. We can't put this on the Master's table. We have to realize that the fingers are pointing back to us. It may be popular to refer to hurricane devastation as, you know, the word unthinkable, but the history of the human race graphically demonstrates that there is virtually no limit to the possibilities of disease and disasters and deaths. And so hurricanes like Florence, they're a reminder that the world is groaning in travail. But there's another reminder, and that is found in the gospel. Creation will be liberated. One day, creation itself will no longer be subject to bondage and decay. And that liberation begins with the conquest of the cross and will be ultimately completed at Christ's second coming. Because as his conquest ensures, we will rise bodily. And so too, the universe will be liberated from its present decay. Those who die in Christ, whether in Florence or in other disasters, or of just the aging process, they're going to experience the new heaven and the new earth as both a physical place in creation as well as the personal presence of the Creator. The dwelling of God is with men, said John, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He'll wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things will have passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. And so today it is my prayer that images of potential devastation will arouse us from our lethargy, will engage us to give water and food to those in need, and to use the testimony of our love and of our lives as an ultimate witness, a witness which will lead us to give them the bread and the water of life so that they may truly never hunger and thirst again. The worst thing that can happen is not to die in the waters of a flood or a hurricane or an earthquake or any other human tragedy. The worst thing that can happen is to live a long, robust life and then to be forever separated from the love and grace of the one that knit you together in your mother's womb. Ultimately, we cannot rightly cope with disasters, disease, or even our own eventual deaths apart from having an eternal perspective. We're coming up to a station break. When I come back from the break, I do want to deal with the problem of evil. Why do bad things happen to good people? This is a question that's asked over and over again, particularly in the light of natural disasters. We will be right back with that and a whole lot more right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please don't touch that dial.
The major motion picture, Paul, Apostle of Christ, brings first century Rome to the big screen like never before, detailing the last days of the most infamous persecutors of Christians, a man who went on to become Christ's most influential apostle. To receive Paul, Apostle of Christ on DVD, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. InterVarsity, one of the largest collegiate associations in the country, has been derecognized on a growing number of college campuses for believing in traditional morals. In 2014, Brendan Eich, CEO of Mozilla and creator of JavaScript, was forced from his position just for having donated $1,000 to California's Proposition 8, a ballot initiative limiting marriage to a man and a woman. A plethora of such examples demonstrate that a tsunami of secularism has been unleashed, and we've not yet seen its high watermark. To equip you for the days ahead, read Mary Eberstadt's book, It's Dangerous to Believe, Religious Freedom and Its Enemies. Receive your copy of It's Dangerous to Believe as our thanks for supporting the life-changing outreaches of the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. www.bibleandsermon.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. The quote of the day comes from the prophet Isaiah, who said, "All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely, the people are grass. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever." Isaiah was a prophet who lived during an epic time in the history of his country. The northern kingdom fell to Assyria in 722. But Isaiah saw another horrific disaster looming on the horizon. He saw Babylon seizing Judah, destroying Jerusalem and Solomon's temple. And all of that came to pass. We are not prescient in the same sense that a prophet like Isaiah was, but we can say one thing with absolute certainty. All of us are going to experience one kind of heartache or another. "In this world," said Jesus, "you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." And that is the beauty of living with an eternal perspective, knowing that one day God Himself will be living with us. One day the universe that now suffers from disasters will no longer, for the old order will disappear and everything will be new. But in the present milieu, people continue to ask questions. And one of the questions that is posed so often to me is, why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? I often say that when you hear a question like that, you ought to carefully examine the premise of the question. But without doing that for now, let me simply say that it may seem as though there are as many responses to that question as there are religions. But in truth, all the answers can be boiled down to three. They can be boiled down to pantheism, philosophical naturalism, and to theism. So what about pantheism? Pantheism denies the existence of good and evil because in this view, God is all and all is God. And there's something similar going on with philosophical naturalism, which of course is the worldview that undergirds evolutionism. Philosophical naturalism supposes that everything, I mean everything, is a function of random processes. And thus there is no such thing as good and evil. You hear people like the Duke professor, very, very famous professor at a famous university, saying that there is no such thing as good and evil. There is no such thing as right or wrong. So philosophical naturalism believes that everything is just a function of brain chemistry and genetics. We are fatalistically determined. No such thing as free will. And that leaves us with one more possibility, the third of the triad, and it is theism, which alone has a relevant response to the question of why bad things happen to good people. And of course, only Christian theism answers the question satisfactorily. And I say that because Christian theism acknowledges that God created the potential, That's the operative word. God created the potential for evil because God created human beings with freedom of choice. We choose to love or hate. We choose to do good or evil. And the history of the human race bears eloquent testimony to the fact that humans, of their own free will, are responsible for the reality of evil, responsible because of their choices. And of course, without choice, love is meaningless. God could have created us in such a way that there was no choice, but then there would be no love. A lot of people don't like to hear this, but it's true. God is neither a cosmic rapist who forces his love on people, nor a cosmic puppeteer who forces people to love him. Instead, God, who is the personification of love, grants us the freedom of choice, a freedom without which we would be little more than pre-programmed robots. The fact that God created the potential for evil by giving us freedom of choice will ultimately lead to the best of all possible worlds, a world in which there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For those who choose Christ will be redeemed from evil by God's goodness and will forever be able not to sin. It's also interesting to me that in this milieu, so many people immediately look at the potential of natural disasters, earthquakes or hurricanes like Florence, and they immediately yell global warming. So many believe that global warming is the single greatest threat that faces our planet. And as the rhetoric continues to boil over, let me leave you with some questions. We want to ask the right questions, as Dr. Jay Richards once said, and ask those questions in the right sequence. The initial question ought to be this: is global warming a reality? And if we approximate accurate averages over the last 150 years, and if we carefully consider satellite data, it probably is likely that we are experiencing a slight warming trend. We must, however, exercise extreme caution in the extrapolation of trends. I remember this all too well. I was 20 years old when the first Earth Day was being observed. That was 1970. And of course, then there was a specter of a looming ice age. And I remember Time pontificating that the telltale signs of the ice age were evident everywhere. But there's a second question, and that question is, if the globe is warming, are humans a significant factor? I don't have time to delve into that, but that is a very significant question that has not as yet been settled. And then third, is global warming necessarily bad? While common sense might lead us to conclude that a warming trend is far less dangerous than a new ice age, the reality is there hasn't been significant study to be absolutely sure. The one thing we don't want to get involved in as Christians is sensationalism, sophistry, and sloppy journalism, because that does very, very little to advance the ball. And I think back of the Y2K warnings. This was going to be the greatest catastrophe in the history of the world. I mean, it was really being trumpeted as something very significant. I wrote a book back then called The Millennium Bug Debug that said it wouldn't even be a top 10 news story in the year 2000. So a lot of people were hyping something that never happened. And once again, if you asked questions, they would say, you can't ask these questions. You have to go along with the herd. Well, we should never, as Christians, follow the herd. We ought to follow the truth. We're almost out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, a special edition. I do, as we close the broadcast, want to mention once again The DVD available for those who support the ministry prayerfully and financially. You can find it on the web at equip.org. It's titled Paul, Apostle of Christ. It is an absolutely exquisite film. And this is one of those films I don't think any Christian home ought to be without. Watch it with your children. It is, well, it is the kind of film that can impact the lives of your family members throughout their lives. It's Dangerous to Believe, a book by Mary Eberstadt, Religious Freedom and Its Enemies, also available for those who support the ministry. The Last Christians, Stories of Persecution, Flight, Resilience in the Middle East, and Raymond Ibrahim's book, Crucified Again, Exposing Islam's New War on Christians. All of these you can find on the web at equip.org. And I do thank everybody for standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth.
Well, thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and to live Christianly. In appreciation for your gift to help strengthen and expand the life-changing outreaches of CRI, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you Paul, Apostle of Christ on DVD. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do. Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org.